welcome everyone, both those of us here in the sanctuary as well as those joining us online. As here we are on the Sunday after Easter, launching into a new message series titled Resurrection Hope, with the tagline Faith in the Aftermath. Faith in the aftermath. So last Sunday was a glorious celebration of Jesus' resurrection. He is risen. He is risen. Yes, he is risen indeed. And though everyone saw him crucified, God miraculously raised Jesus from the dead. And what an amazing result that means for you and for me. I hope that we will never miss this. The young people understand this. I hope we'll all understand. What an amazing thing. On the cross, Jesus won your victory over sin and Satan's power. You are on the cross forgiven because of the cross. You are set free and you have been redeemed. What a great victory that is. And then from the empty tomb, Jesus won your victory over death and the grave. Because of the empty tomb, you have resurrection power available to your life right now and the promise of eternal life in the future. Every Sunday is a celebration of Easter Sunday. Amen? Because of what God has done for us in the life, death, and resurrection of his Son and our Savior and Lord, Jesus the Christ. And so today, the Sunday after Easter, our vision is 2020. I mean, we see and we understand. And although we've heard the story and we've read the Gospels and we've been reminded of all these truths, the earliest disciples did not come to clarity about all of it right away. In fact, that first Holy Week had been an emotionally exasperating time, actually. Think about it. Palm Sunday had begun with such hope and expectation. This is it! Jesus is, he's heading to Jerusalem. Our Messiah is coming. Our long-awaited deliverer from our oppressors, these Romans. He is coming. He's going to establish his kingdom like we've heard. And what great thing is God going to do? The week began with such expectation and hope. And yet by Friday, their leaders had arrested him, mocked and beaten him, flogged him, and then had him crucified on the cross. How could this be? What a sense of disbelief and agony and despair must have come over all of his followers. It was not supposed to have happened this way. And certainly no one experienced it with more depth of perspective than Mary, the mother of Jesus. You remember his disciples, they had spent 3 amazing years with Jesus, yes, but Mary had been with him throughout his whole life. For her, every step of the way included all of these memories and things to ponder, beginning with the time even before his birth. So, on this Sunday after Easter, I want us to ask the question, what about Mary's journey can speak to our lives? Well, I'd say this. First of all, we have to know that Mary had great expectations. Remember, way back in the beginning, the angel Gabriel had visited her and had told her that she was going to give birth to a special child. Luke 1:31 says, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the what? Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father, whom? David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will what? Never end." Never end. Think about it. Mary heard these amazing words from the angel Gabriel, yes, but she also heard amazing things from the shepherds and the wise men as well. She heard amazing things from Simeon and Anna in the temple. And remember the angel in Joseph's dream. that led them to flee, to go to Egypt. In all of these experiences, Mary heard, in effect, the same thing. He's going to be special. She heard again and again, he is going to be special. So about by that time of his ministry, when there was a wedding at Cana of Galilee and they ran out of wine, she said in effect, my son Jesus, he is special. He is special, so do whatever he tells you. And sure enough, they did what he told them to do, and Jesus turned the water into wine. I imagine this. Mary had great expectations for her son Jesus. Here's the thing. Every parent has hope-filled expectations for their child. Amen? Moms, dads? Yes. We hope and pray that, first of all, they will be healthy. And then that they will be sharp and that they'll be well-adjusted. Somehow they'll find their niche. They'll find their place in the world and that they will make a difference. Mary had great expectations. We do as well. I remember my own experience of confirmation when I was growing up. We had, get this, guys, we had classes too, in which we were learning about the church and about what it meant to follow Jesus. And then on Confirmation Sunday, we knelt down and there was a priest who laid his hands on me, much like we do here, and prayed. And it was a big deal in my family and for my parents and for me. And I realize now that moment was one step in many ongoing steps that God was using as a means of grace in my life, a means of drawing me closer to Him, a means of helping me to understand more about what it means to follow in His footsteps. So I'm praying today that God will move on each of your hearts and in each of your lives, and that this day will be a memory that will remind you, hey, I took a step in faith. I declared my faith. I remember back then when I took that step, and here I am now as I've grown up, and I remember these different steps, these means of grace that God used in my life. And I want to pray that here, as you continue to grow up in the life of our church, we will marvel at how God is using you. You're just in sixth grade or so now, but as you continue to grow up, it's going to be amazing the way God can use you for His kingdom right through here in our community and through the ministry of our church. So we're going to be looking forward to that. Amen? That's every parent's hope-filled expectation for their child. And yet, how do we respond when our expectations aren't always realized? Hello? What do we do when our hope and our prayers for our children don't turn out exactly the way we hoped? What then? I do know parents who live with real pain about that. Life doesn't always turn out the way that we anticipated. Sometimes children make choices or decisions that we don't want them to make, or circumstances happen in the ways that we didn't want them to happen. And what then? It is a real challenge of faith. And that's why we're starting this monthly support group for hurting parents. We realize that there are many parents who need a place where they can come and they can share and they can find prayer and care. Second thing that we see from her story is this. Mary dealt with normal struggles as a parent. Life was no picnic for the wife of a carpenter in Nazareth. They were not an affluent family. The scripture tells us that when Mary and Joseph dedicated Jesus at the temple, the offering that they made was two turtle doves. And that's the offering that's prescribed in the law for poor families. We know when Jesus was 12, Mary and Joseph had a dust up with their son. On their way back from the Passover celebration in Jerusalem, they realized that Jesus was not with him. And this was an embarrassing parenting moment. I thought he was with you. Well, I thought you were watching him. And, you know, how can this happen? I just can't believe it. When they found him in Jerusalem at the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening and asking questions, they scolded him, "Son, why have you treated us like this?" And he said in Luke 2:49, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" My guess is when things like that happened, Mary pondered in her heart, "What must this mean? God, what are you going to do through and with this child?" As we see Mary's life, we have to remember this. Every parent has normal struggles raising kids. Amen? Amen? No matter what the age of our kids, it calls for everything that we've got, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. You know, Kathy and I are in the empty nest right now. And I can remember when they were little thinking, "Man, if we can make it to the empty nest, you know, maybe some of this pressure that we feel as parents, it'll be different." Well, it is a little different, but I still realize that parenting is a lifetime calling, a lifetime commitment. My mother is 80 years old, and I realize now more than ever that she continues to be invested in the lives of we, her seven children, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. Mentally, what to do? I mean, the question mentally at different stages is, you know, what do we do as infants? And then they're toddlers, and then they're young children. And then adolescence is a whole nother question about what do we do. And then there's young adults, and then they're, and even as adults, you know, how do I relate to my grown children now? And how do I have relationship with them emotionally? How am I going to deal with this range of emotions that I feel as a parent? And then spiritually, what spiritual principles can guide me? And we do find that the Lord comes with great resources to help us, understanding about love and grace and forgiveness and faith. And the good news is, in Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. And in the church, through the church, we have community and we have support and we have encouragement. And certainly from the scriptures, we find insight and wisdom and truth. And yet, for all of these resources that God provides us, parenting or being a grandparent is not easy. Not easy at all. Story is told of a friend who came to visit Teddy Roosevelt while Teddy was in the White House. And this friend came while Alice, Roosevelt's daughter, kept running in and out of the room. And finally, the friend said to Teddy Roosevelt, "Isn't there something that you can do to control her?" And the president of the United States, Teddy Roosevelt, he said this. He says, "Well, I can do one of two things. I can be the president of the United States, or I can control Alice. I cannot possibly do both." So remember this. From Mary to presidents and on down, we all have normal struggles raising kids. So Mary had great expectations. She dealt with normal struggles as a parent. She held on to her hopes and dreams in her heart. And yet Mary also experienced terrible sorrow. Terrible sorrow. Simeon, remember, the old man in the temple, had warned her, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be what? Spoken against. So that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a what? Sword will pierce your own soul too." He was talking about the sorrow that she was going to experience. And Mary knew sorrow. Remember, her cousins her cousin Elizabeth's son, John the Baptist, became beheaded. He was beheaded by Herod. And no doubt that shook Mary. And she became aware over time of the Pharisees and the Sadducees' opposition to her son, and aware of the forces of opposition. But also, she was very aware of the power of God. She was always a person with a mother's heart. She had great hopes of what could happen, but also great concern for what might go wrong. So, she was there on Palm Sunday with great hopes. And then she was there on Good Friday with great sorrow and anguish. I think Mary experienced the horror of Jesus' death more deeply than anyone. She had carried him in her womb. She had received the angel Gabriel's promises. Imagine all the... She had witnessed the miracle of Jesus' life, and then she had watched him die. The questions that she must have had in the midst of that horror. God, what are you doing? Why? How has it come to this? What about all of the promises? And so often in our lives, we have to ask the question, how do we have faith in the aftermath of these terrible things that sometimes happen? Mary experienced terrible sorrow, and sometimes we parents experience terrible sorrow too. There's always the possibility of a broken relationship with a child. Many parents experience the loss of a child to the world. Jesus, remember, said, "Broad is the road that leads to destruction, narrow the way that leads to life." Some parents experience the death of a child. I can't imagine a sorrow deeper than that. I have an aunt who lost two of her three sons, my cousins, to death. One, my cousin, was killed in a tractor accident. He was 15. I was 12. Another cousin, her son, died in a gun accident. He was 21. I was 18. I can't imagine what she has felt all of these years. What I do know is my aunt has not quite been the same. She continues to hold on to her faith. She continues to practice her faith, because I know that that is the one thing that she's had to hold on to in the midst of everything. But her countenance, when I look in her eye, I can always tell. Maybe you know someone who's experienced terrible sorrow as a parent. What do we do? Express empathy and extend grace in every way, and just be there as best we can. We know that before he died, Jesus, he said to John, his disciple John, he says, "John, I want you to care for my mother." And I imagine the rest of that Friday and the all day Saturday, there were times of great question and anguish for and pain for him and Mary. But then on Sunday, a ray of hope, a ray of light. Mary Magdalene and the other women came saying, "He is alive." And though the disciples couldn't believe it initially, my guess is Mary, Jesus' mother, her heart immediately leaped when she heard the words. She was more invested than anyone else. She had seen and experienced more than anyone else. She had hidden all of these things in her hearts over the years more than anyone else as well. So one last thing that we see from Mary's story. In the end, Mary experienced resurrection hope. The hopes and dreams, the expectations that she had hid in her heart, they did come into full bloom. With the news of Jesus' resurrection. She had walked into Calvary devastated. And the next thing that we see about her life is the news of Jesus' resurrection. She's back in the upper room now, elated, what a transformation just a few days can make. So we read in Acts 1:14, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and the mother, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They were all there, and you can imagine what a celebration, what hope filled the air. They didn't have it all figured out, but there was tremendous hope. He is alive. We've seen him. Remember this, whatever your circumstances, because of Jesus' resurrection, there is always hope. You may be struggling as a parent or a grandparent. There is hope in the risen Christ. You may have experienced terrible loss, perhaps the death of a loved one, a parent, a grandchild, a friend. You may have experienced brokenness in relationship. Whatever your loss or grief, there is healing, there is hope in the risen Christ. You may be facing overwhelming circumstances and that you don't see any way out of, maybe in your health or at work or among friends or your family, in your finances. There is hope in the risen Christ. Mary learned what we can learn. Even in the midst of the darkest night, hope rises. Hope rises. And why? Because God is real. Because Christ was raised. Even when we can't see any light at the end of the tunnel, we continue to hold on to our faith. For Mary, Friday was a terrible day, but Sunday was a coming. There's always hope because we serve the God of resurrection hope. We serve a living Savior. Let us continue to live lives of resurrection hope because of who Christ is and his great power among us. Amen? I want us to pray about that for a moment. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, gracious God, loving Lord, merciful one, Mary had quite a journey of faith. From Jesus' birth in Bethlehem to his death on Calvary, she had a lot to hold on to and ponder in her heart. And her faith was dreadfully tested as she watched Jesus suffer and die on the cross. And just when her darkness seemed unbearable, intolerable, a new light of hope sprang forth. Lord, we need Mary's faith today. We need resurrection hope. You may need help at work or hope in your circumstances or healing in your relationships. If that's you today, I want to pray. Lord, I pray that you will meet each one searching here today with resurrection power that they need. Help and hope and healing. You may need Christ. You may say, my life, it's a mess. It's unmanageable. I haven't been able to live it well on my own. I need power from on high. That power is Jesus Christ. If you need Christ, you can receive him today. Simply pray, Lord Jesus, in your heart, I don't have my life figured out. In fact, I've messed it up. I need you. I need help. Come with your love and your truth and your acceptance today. Forgive me. Wash me. Save me. I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, I encourage you to tell someone about it. It's in Jesus' name that we continue to pray. Lord, come with your resurrection power. In his name we've prayed, and everyone said, amen.